Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
Episode of Pod Strickland. I'm your host, Oakley. This is episode 396. I'm joined on this very, very special Victory Friday after the Knicks eliminate the dastardly, disgusting, vile, grotesque Philadelphia 76ers and their more pathetic fan base. I'm joined, as always, by my co-host, Prez. It is at underscore Presidente on Twitter. Prez, how are you doing on this wonderful, beautiful Friday morning?
Motherfuck Philadelphia, their fans, their players, especially Joel Embiid, who tried to injure all the Knicks in the beginning of the series just because this motherfucker couldn't keep himself from getting injured, as usual, as he does every year for his whole fucking career. Motherfuck Nick Nurse and his crybaby sit on the sidelines, hand-waving, gesticulating, over-dramatic ass, even though tactically I was very impressed with him as a coach, as usual. Josh Harris, Sam Hinkie, motherfuck Daryl Morey, and all these people who grift their way through the sport and grift their way through life and fail upwards constantly. It was a great series. It was very stressful, but I'm happy that we fucking disposed of them despite being shorthanded. And I hope they have some hard conversations about what they're doing as a franchise, but almost certainly they will not do that. And instead, they'll sign some fucking mid-ass players to some mid-ass contracts, just like they did with mid-ass Tobias Harris, who scored as many points as Schwinnipoo did yesterday. And they'll
I might have scored more.
Yeah. Who can say what happened in Schwinn's personal life last night? Okay. So, there's other teams like the Phoenix Suns that can probably make the Sixers feel quite good about their situation, and they still have Tyrese Maxey, who's quite good even though he can't drive to the left at all.
Not comfortable with his step back to the left that much either.
He's not comfortable
we'll talk about it.
Anyway, like I'm just so happy that like the last thing I'll say in this intro rant is like I thought this series would definitely be easier for the Knicks, so that's probably on me, and I probably had that one coming. But that being said, there was a lot of people who were very skeptical about this on behalf of the Knicks, and they were proven wrong pretty decisively. So hopefully they can have some hard conversations with themselves about whether they know ball and whether they should continue to share these opinions about knowing ball. So there you have it.
Yes. We're going to talk about all that in greater detail. But before we do that, do have to make a few announcements. First, we have the Strickland has an Instagram. Check that out. That is at Strickland on Instagram. We are posting all kinds of content there. The Strickland also has a YouTube channel. We've been watching this podcast. If you are, and you have not done so already, please hit like, subscribe to the channel, leave us a comment. That'd be a huge help to us. The Strickland also has merchandise, which you can find on our website at www.thestrick.land. There's a link that'll take you to the merchandise store. You can find all kinds of cool stuff on there. T-shirts, sweatshirts, hats, coffee mugs, water bottles, you name it. We've got it. There's a whole new line of merchandise available on there, the Nova York line, which, if you watched the game yesterday, you may be inspired to purchase. Check it out. Really, really good work by Alex on that. Strickland also has a Patreon, which you can subscribe to. There are a number of different tiers. There's a $6 tier that gets you access to Pod Strickland's podcast that I host every Friday with Prez. You also get access to Takes Me Out of His Bozos, our newest podcast that is hosted by Andrew Steele, a.k.a. Doug, along with Zach Blatter. And you get access to the Strickland Discord where the conversation never stops. It certainly has not stopped at any point in the last 24 hours. There are further tiers. There's a $9 tier that gets you access to Strickland Roll, my solo pod, or I ran for anything even more. You also get access to wonderful premium articles by Matthew Miranda, one of the best in the business. And now you get access to Strictly NFL, which you guessed it is our newest podcast. That is an NFL podcast that is hosted by Constantine Metricos. There are further tiers. There's a $15 tier, $30 tier, $50 tier, and a $100 tier that's come with a variety of additional benefits, like listening on pod recordings, merchandise discounts, and even potentially co-hosting a podcast alongside yours truly one day, whether you choose to subscribe or not, unless it would be possible without you. And none of this would be possible without Bet Online. Bet Online is your number one source for summer sports this season. For MLB, golf, NBA, and NHL playoff stats, all the latest stats, news, and scores available to follow your favorite teams. Get the latest odds and lines, including the latest team matchups, player props, and odds on just about every sport out there. Head to the website today or use a mobile device to get into the action. Bet Online, where the game starts. All right. So the Knicks win 118-115 yesterday in a game that calling it a seesaw battle would be doing a disservice to the rather, you know, sanguine nature of seesaws. This game just was fucking bipolar from the start. Knicks get out to a huge 22-point lead very, very quick, 33-11 at one point in the first quarter. By the time halftime rolled around, they were down three. They also fall down 10 in the third quarter, end up taking an 8-point lead with 2.5 minutes left in the fourth. The game ends up tied up at 111.
I after that OG Anunoby dunk, I immediately after the game.
Oh, it was you.
I don't know. I know the Sixers did some stuff and the game became a 1-point game after that dunk put us up 8, but my brain actually blacked it out, as a trauma protection response. So, I had to run it back after the game. What the fuck actually happened in, the following minute after that dunk? I legit didn't know.
Kelly Oubre made the most annoying corner three ever.
He made a corner three, and then Batum had the putback, right?
Yeah.
I think.
I will say this, fuck Nick Nurse.
Batum is nice. I will not slander Batum. He's not annoying. He's really good, and he's one of the few players on the team who's not just
fucking
annoying about it, and he's just a hooper.
He had 16 and 7 last night, 3 offensive rebounds.
Wow, I didn't realize
5 of 7 from the field. He was killing it for them yesterday.
When's his contract up?
he's retiring. He's retiring.
Oh, is he?
Yeah, apparently this
is all these French motherfuckers, and he's my work here is done.
Yeah, I'm good actually. I will say, fuck Nick Nurse, but I thought he did a pretty awesome job of, yes, the Knicks still won the rebounding battle in the series, but aside from two games where the Knicks dominated, which were game one and then game four on the glass, Philly did a good job of.
Yeah, it wasn't like the Cleveland series last year at all.
Yeah, this was not like the Cleveland series. I think they did a really good job of attacking the offensive glass in this game. They had 16 offensive rebounds last night. Mm-hmm. You mentioned it briefly, but whatever you want to say about Nick Nurse, he is a very fucking annoying, super whiny, whatever. The guy's a really good coach, man.
He's a great coach.
Yeah, I thought he coached a great series. Honestly, I think. We've talked about this before. I think Carlisle is a great coach. He makes really good adjustments. The fact that the Knicks were able to overcome Philly in this series, given they have superior talent to Indiana, and that Nick Nurse is a really good in-game, in-series adjustment type of coach, mm-hmm. I think it bodes really, really well for them. But they had to fight through a lot because this game was, the swings in this game were kind of unbelievable. This was very much the meme of it's so over, we're back.
This whole series was that meme.
Yeah.
This game especially.
Yeah, this game was crazy.
First quarter, I was like, surely there's no way they collapse. I was so sure. I was like, we'll be fucking safe going into the halftime. Wrong.
Yeah, so this is your fault. This is your fault, though.
I may be culpable slightly.
I got to say, look, Jalen Brunson, obviously, just spectacular performance again. Before we talk about Jalen Brunson, though, and Josh Hart, obviously, biggest shot of this. Josh Hart just apparently the king of making backbreaking threes in the first round of the playoffs.
He's the 2020-24 version of that Shaq quote about free throws where it's just I make them when it counts.
He's just ridiculous. I think he had 16 threes in the series, which is unbelievable. He shot 43%. But I wanted to mention very specifically, I thought, and I mentioned this last night in the post game, and I saw Ace, DJ, Ace NBA on Twitter, does work for Knicks Film School. He mentioned this specifically. I thought that, like, Deuce had a pretty brutal game for his standards in this series last night. The three he hit, the Knicks are actually were down 93-92 in the fourth quarter with Brunson off the floor. He runs a pick and roll, late clock pick and roll, hits a huge pull-up three that puts the Knicks back up two. I thought that was a huge shot. I thought that was massive. And also, like, look, man, OG had a very – he had a game. Let's put it that way. He had a very interesting game. But
you're like, give me the boring corner threes and layups, OG. I don't like this new attacker upside OG. Yeah, meanwhile, a month ago, Schwitt was like, should we pay somebody who has no other ways to score more money? And then he scores in other ways. And it's like, no, wait, we'll pay you. Just go back.
Actually, don't ever do that again. But I thought he played, like, was it perfect? No. Was it always ideal decision making and all that stuff? No. But in a series and in a stretch, right, without Julius Randle, where the Knicks just and look, DiVincenzo balled out last night, but he had a terrible series, even though, I mean, it's funny, he had a terrible series, but he also, like, showed up in arguably the two biggest games for the Knicks, and obviously maybe had the biggest moment, but who the fuck knows? There's so many big moments at this point in the series. But I thought, I don't know what the hell happened between game three and four, or maybe between game two and three, really, because I thought by game three, OG was starting to get really way more aggressive offensively. Maybe somebody talked to him. Maybe it was a specific point that the coaching staff was hammering in. His aggressiveness offensively in these last few games has been impressive. Just a different level of aggression offensively, willingness to put the ball on the deck, try to make things happen. Obviously, ideal scenario, OG Anunoby is not your second option. But given the situation the Knicks find themselves in,
they second in drives per game for the Knicks this series.
Yeah. You can't let the record show. You know, as the saying goes, don't let perfect be the enemy of good. And I thought he played a truly fantastic last four games of this series. His aggression yesterday, that dunk he had on Embiid was fucking monstrous. I thought he played with a lot of emotion. That is very uncharacteristic of at least what we've been led to believe he is. I was very, very appreciative of his play over this last four games. And the Knicks obviously do not win this series without him. I don't think they're not the fucking two seed without him. We know that. And just his willingness to keep trying and keep going and keep trying to put the ball in the deck, keep trying to create in moments where those opportunities presented themselves to him. I mean, it was huge for the Knicks. He was massive in this game. I thought his help defense on drives every time Maxey put the ball on the deck or Embiid was phenomenal. Yes, the trade-off there is that, yeah, maybe you gave up a couple more open threes than you would have liked, but the Knicks were comfortable with that trade-off. And ultimately, they end up on the right side of that math. So I just wanted to shout him out because I think, like, you know, amidst Brunson's, you know, fucking fireworks and DiVincenzo's huge threes and obviously the Josh Hart three and all that stuff. And it's easy to just remember the dunk that OG hit, but I just thought throughout this game and throughout this series.
You don't remember the one he missed?
I do remember the one he missed. But I just thought throughout this game and throughout this series, he showed a level of willingness to just fucking try shit that the Knicks needed and that I wasn't totally sure that he was, like, capable and confident of. And I mean, again, the Knicks do not win this series without him.
Yeah, they're... That's a good segue to something I wanted to talk about. So the kind of way I view playoff series is, like, you're matched up against a specific team. And it's a chess match in terms of schemes and matchups and decisions made by the coach, executed by the players. And the way I always kind of phrase it to people is, like, the coaches will do something and the team will execute something, and they'll basically pose their opponent with a problem. And, like, to use a simple example, Philly might run a zone, and then they're asking the Knicks, can you solve this zone? We don't think you can. And then it's on the Knicks to say, we can. We're going to get you right back out of that zone, and we're going to pose you some question, right? And, like, to use another example, in the last game, game five, Tyrese Maxey went crazy, and he was absolutely cooking, and they just kept going back to it, right? Which they should have. And the question they were posing was, like, all right, like, if we run the offense through Maxey instead, can you do anything about it? And in game five, the Knicks did not have an answer. Josh Hart tried to answer and failed miserably. It got cooked. He cooked OG Anunoby. He cooked everybody except Dante DiVincenzo, who didn't get many reps on him. And in game six, the Knicks answered that question. Tibbs answered that question. Dante answered that question by forcing him left. And then when he tried to get screens to go right, they would, instead of focusing on Embiid, they would focus on Maxey and do like a hedge or like a soft trap and then scramble back to Embiid. Or sometimes they would be so far out, Dante and Ihart or Dante and Mitch, that someone like Jalen Brunson would have to go scramble up to Embiid and just hold him off for like a couple seconds so the center could get back. And that was an instance of the Knicks successfully answering the Tyrese Maxey question, right? So OG, what he did being aggressive is the sort of thing that can foil an entire team's playoff plan, because anytime you, the question you're, and say a team asks another question to their opponent, if the answer is something that the team is not normally able to do, then that's usually a point where you're like, oh shit, like, this is trouble. And to use an example of that, when we played Cleveland last year, the question to Cleveland was, can you stop us on the glass? Can you be more physical? And there was literally, like, they couldn't do anything schematically, and you can't transform unphysical skinny players into physical players. Like, there's nothing they can do about it. So one of the questions Nick Nurse and Philly asked of the Knicks is, like, we're going to put, like, Campaign and Kyle Lowry and guard and Tyrese Maxey on OG Anunoby so they can chill. He won't do anything about it. Can he do anything about it? And historically, OG Anunoby has not done anything about that. He's not been, I mean, under Nick Nurse, they did have like a couple weird instances of like throw OG the rock and let him cook, but he didn't have the skills then to do anything. So it was usually a win for the other team when that happened. But in Toronto this year, he shot 50% on mid-range shots, and that continued in the Knicks. On the Knicks. And so we knew he had the mid-range counter where he would post up a smaller player and then kind of just step back and hit the little mid-range. But he had to take it up a notch beyond that versus Philly in this series with the drives. It wasn't just, and sometimes it didn't work, right? Like, he had some ugly hook shots. He tried to dump off to Mitch in game five and it was a horrible turnover. And, you know, he tried it again to dump off to Ihart. And it almost worked, but it didn't work in game six. So, like, it was definitely not some failure-proof answer by OG Anunoby and by Tibbs. But you can tell, to your point, you can tell that was a point of emphasis where they were like, look, we don't have much creation outside of Brunson. And our other creators are small. It's Dante, and it who's a more of a jump shot creator, and Josh Hart, who's Josh Hart, right? And then it had to be OG. He's the only other one. And fortunately, he had enough development as a player over the last year that he was able to go outside of his comfort zone and actually do all right. And that was not in, that was a bet that Nick Nurse took that was a decent bet, actually. And It backfired on him, which is like, if you're Nick Nurse, you just kind of tip your cap a little bit, because like OG Anunoby taking like 15, 16 shots, 17 shots is like probably a win for you historically, but it wasn't in this instance. So definitely tip your cap to him for all the other shit that you said, the defense, the help defense, especially all that. But like him going out of his comfort zone as a scorer was a series changing dynamic.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.